train, cocaine, shit stain on chain, off train, go! Streaming fast, push the ground, make they really wanna build a no.
That's right. Like the thing says, streaming sats and receiving boostergrams. That's the thing that really makes you want to build a node. And it's sort of a backwards idea, right? Because in order to receive the sats and boostergrams, you need a node, right? So almost like the reward comes after the work. It's really weird.
Mm.
It's like there's this proof of work that you have to submit to the universe before you receive that reward of, oh, shit. This is actually mind-bendingly life-changing, and I get it now.
Yeah.
For you always talk about the Bitcoin block party where you sold some goods and just did it right there.
Yeah.
Instantaneously.
Well, received sats lightning fast. And, like, I've worked with POS systems before, the portable ones and the little card swiper you stick in your phone. That shit sucks.
Yeah.
But using Zeus as an overlay for my node, like front end, and just making invoices and accepting sats through that, it was so fast. The person just stands there, scans the QR code, bada bing, bada boom, sats in my node.
Gotta love it.
And I get to be my own bank. Nothing better.
Hard to beat.
Value straight to me.
It's hard to beat. We talked a little bit about the helipad update, which I'm really jitty about. 0.1.9. I gotta make sure I'm saying it right. Because it's so numbery. 0.1.9 added the streams in, but now what's cool is you can customize your numerology. So if you have certain numerologies and certain emojis that you want to show up in the helipad message, you can tweak those.
Yeah.
So I think I've got some certain custom emojis I'd want for 6969 and different things like that.
Yes.
I've got a gang of lewd emojis. I know that's probably a surprise to many.
I'm shocked to hear you say this.
But
not.
We could implement them now. We can implement them.
Yeah. And we definitely have some bowl after bowl sounds that need to be implemented.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Currently, I see the one custom sound, and I don't know if there's a numerology tied to sounds. It looks like numerology is tied to emojis right now. But with the power combined,
yes,
of IR Cacophony, and customize that little numerology sounds situation. So that is on the hopper for sure. For sure. Ooh, Eric PP says you can add sounds too. Hell yeah. Oh, I see a sound column right there. There you go.
Nice.
All right. Well, there you have it. God, I'm so excited to dive deeper into this. Yeah, I just slapped it on earlier today because I happened to be in the node anyway. And I was like, you know what? You can pull this newest thing.
Yeah, in the node and in the know.
So I'm gonna dive deep into that. That'll be fun. That'll be kind of a next week, or maybe even by Friday. Maybe even
that'll
probably be good timing to show it off to Stephen Bell.
Yeah, hit him with a bunch of random sounds that no one has heard before, too. It'll be a surprise for everyone.
Maybe some new stuff. Maybe the usual suspects.
Well, even the usual suspects, but firing off on their own just because a boost came in.
Little hands-free ISOs. That will be incredible. Last week, I kind of went a little nutso on the shit stain, so I wanted to keep it a little more sane. The news has been a little more sane.
Shit sane.
Kind of. Not a lot new has happened. But the same theme, of course, still echoes throughout. The federal government just mad and drunk on power on... What can they do? Who can they punish now for, you know, daring to try and operate even adjacent to being in the straight up center of their system?
Mm.
Federal prosecutors are still investigating Jack Dorsey's block for alleged gaps in compliance. This news came out last Thursday.
Wow.
According to NBC News, federal prosecutors are digging into internal practices at Block, the financial technology firm launched by Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey, discussing with a former employee alleged widespread and years-long compliance lapses. Oh, no, at the company's two main units, Square and Cash App. Oh, you didn't comply. You didn't comply. You got to comply harder. Blah, 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 blah. Just more of the same, you know?
Yeah.
These goddamn... laws on top of laws on top of laws that are all on a bedrock of unconstitutional bullshit.
Yeah. And then it's like, there's something that there's no explicit law written about, and they'll just say, well, that's illegal. But it says nowhere that it is. God, they're such cowards. Pisses me off.
Yeah, this is a kind of a follow-up to a report from the same author at NBC last February. There's a story in mid-February about two whistleblowers who told financial regulators about the failures, compliance failures at Cash App. It's all you need is one CPA snitching on you in the back.
Fucker.
Well, you know, you didn't file the correct forms in TripleKit for months. There was months. Months unaccounted for.
Yeah, and the IRS says, oh, we lost a bunch of money then.
Yeah, that must mean that we are owed even more money. Where are those guys? Let's
even
get
though,
them.
Yeah, it's like you didn't lose shit.
The quote is hilarious from a former SEC enforcement lawyer, Edward Cagle, who says, there are obvious national security issues here, and it would be foolhardy for the public to think that regulators and law enforcement are keeping pace with the financial innovators. I say to you.
National security issues, my goodness.
For Block's part, they have a counterpoint spokesperson release whole situation. Their spokeshole said, Block has a responsible an extensive compliance program, and we regularly adapt our practices to meet emerging threats and an evolving sanctions regulatory environment. Our compliance program includes systems, tools, and processes for sanctions screening, as well as investigating and reporting on sanctions issues in accordance with our regulatory obligations. So, you know, this is basically just, can we keep Russians off the platform type shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's just like...
That's what makes me mad, though. Like, Bitcoin is not regulated by U.S. sanctions.
Yeah, it's really
weird. Shouldn't be fucking regulated at all.
It's these
it's
dollars to Bitcoin rails, you know?
Yeah, that's where it all goes to shit, and that's why, you know, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin, end of story. 100 million Satoshis if you want to get technical.
Yeah.
Fuck the U.S. dollar anyway. Worthless.
It's pretty awful.
But yep, they see an opportunity to get a bunch of money. They're going to come snooping around.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Get their cut. The biggest money-grubbing gang of thieves out there.
Yeah, because they have the law on their side, man.
The U.S. government.
That's what makes them the good guys.
And all their tentacles.
That's what makes them the good guys. ZK Snacks to suspend its CoinJoin coordination service on June 1st.
Now, ZK Snacks already said they weren't going to serve U.S. customers, right?
That's right. We talked about this last week, that they were blocking U.S. citizens from visiting its websites.
Wow.
They were straight up IP banning any IP from the U.S. to its websites. Also, not letting them download and use Wasabi Wallet and any related product, service, API, any of that. Now Wasabi is... sunsetting their mixing service, their coordinator. It's CoinJoin coordination service. So you can still use Whirlpool or the Wasabi mixer. I can't remember, but you just can't. They don't have a coordinator. They're not going to run a coordinator.
Okay.
So you got a CoinJoin on your own, basically, which is the smarter way to do it anyway.
Yeah.
More decentralized. It's just now that the hand has been forced. So it's kind of good that a lot of this decentralized coordination was being built out in the wake of this anyway. It's like the solution kind of came right when it was needed. And also, by the way, if you ask, now I'm not a CoinJoin expert by any means, but if you read some of the comments in the forums and the reactions to this from the Bitcoin developer's standpoint, it's like some of this stuff is quite old. And it's just, you know, like before, people want this service to do it for them. People want this app to do it for them. People want this wallet to do it for them. People want to download something off the app store. And that's where regulators can actually flex nuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, put their thumb on the top of anybody's head.
Yeah, that's where freedom goes to get its dick chopped off.
That's correct. Exactly. And so... it turns out the underlying protocols will allow you to do anything that you enter a command and hit execute. And you can still do a lot of this stuff. You just got to now coordinate or communicate with the other nodes on your own.
That's doable.
I think it's a great move because it forces all of that into a decentralized space, and it's way harder to regulate a decentralized space. It's way harder to track a decentralized space. It's harder to censor a decentralized space, all of the above.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I dig it.
It's probably a phoenix that will rise from those ashes. And there's also a quality filter that goes into all of that stuff, you know. It's such an eye roller that I've been just about every Bitcoin meetup. There's just this, a talking point that always comes up no matter what the service or what the protocol or what the new thing is to, like, well, how do we get all people on the planet to be able to use that?
You right? don't, ever.
And I'm so disinterested in any of that. I'm so disinterested, like, the people who will figure it out will use it. Haha.
But baby, how does it scale?
Scales like this. Full scale.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a silly thought that everyone on the planet would ever do anything.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's not even a desirable outcome.
This tweet from Lola Leets kind of sums it up pretty well. In 1 week, the DOJ managed to shut down 2/3 of CoinJoin services and drive one of the biggest node operators out of the U.S. by causing complete regulatory uncertainty. I hope this affected sue the life out of the DOJ for damages. Yeah, it's only real way anything ever happens for freedom in this country anymore is lawfare. Lawfare. There's no violent uprise revolution type shit that works. You know, it probably worked when you could fuck a whole platoon up by throwing snowballs with rocks in them at a bunch of redcoats on the corner, you know, but it's just a different time we live in.
Yeah.
And those tactics no longer are effective. So you got to do other shit.
Yeah, play the new game.
Like lawfare, like opting out, like, you know. Yeah, we've moved on to this digital battlefield. So there you have it. I do hope that they sue the absolute shit out of them. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on it, that's for sure. One senator seems so far to have been any kind of voice of reason or pushback, and that's Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming, who has made kind of pleasantly, surprisingly, I don't know what I want to say, like coherent statements on Bitcoin before. And she issued a statement criticizing the DOJ for its hyper-aggressive stance on self-custody software with this really sick come and take it image here, this graphic that she posted.
Wow.
With a little Bitcoin with come and take it. And it's got the little Cynthia Lummis watermark on the bottom right. In a statement, Lummis said, "I am deeply troubled by the Department of Justice's hyper-aggressive argument that non-custodial software can constitute a money transmission service. This stance contradicts existing Treasury guidance, common sense, and violates the rule of law. Arguments that go against self-custody software threaten the fundamental property rights that are core to being American. I will do everything I can to fight for your rights to hold your own keys and run your own node," she added. There is one based senator out of 100 on this particular issue.
Sounds like she might be a coiny gal.
Yeah, I think she gets it. Now, again, that's just posturing. We all know what happens when we put any kind of faith into U.S. citizens, or really U.S. citizens.
Yeah, any politician, especially.
Put your faith in God and your trust in the people that you have, you know, established and passed trust tests with, and that's about all you can do, really.
The people you open channels with.
So we'll see. I love seeing that because there needs to be more voices, saying what is completely obvious to us, but that's just the thing. We are still really new. You know, we've been talking about this stuff for 3 years pretty extensively, and it's still new, and there continue to be signs that we are on this kind of new horizon that hasn't been settled or carved out yet. It's all very much in the early stages, embryonic still. Yep. So there's just another signal, but it is growing up. It is growing up when you get a senator saying stuff like that. So more senators saying we will protect the right to run your own node. I fucking love that. we will protect your right to hold your own keys, and saying it's tied to property rights.
Yeah. Makes nothing but saps.
That's what it is. Now just wait until they fucking say, oh, property rights. That sounds like property tax to me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There's always a Trojan inside the gift.
Yeah.
Of the horse. There's always this bunch of fuckers holding spears ready to jump out and grab your shit.
And that's why I'm not an optimist anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. I know it, but I know it might be a drag to hear the negative spin of every positive story. I'll try not to do it too much.
Well, just like,
we just have to be aware of this kind of shit. You know, it's like,
how about just politicians don't talk about it at all? How about just no political news what to do with this?
It would really be cool to just kind of ignore it completely.
No news at all.
But when the DOJ doesn't, then there has to be a counter pushback. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So I do welcome it. I think it's a good, I don't want it to be a negative. I'm just saying. They're going to judo move anything they can, my man, anything they can.
Yep.
Speaking of Block earlier, Block to invest 10% of Bitcoin profits into Bitcoin each month for the rest of 2024. And my question is, only 10%, bro?
Right.
Just now?
And just now, yeah.
But hey, Block announced its quarter one 2024 financial results and unveiled a strategic plan to invest 10% of its gross profit from Bitcoin products into Bitcoin purchases on a monthly basis until the end of the year. Mm. So I guess they'll just try it out. I don't know. If I was making buku money, I would definitely be jamming it all into the Bitcoin. Just if it's going to sit around, right? Why would you sit around with cash reserves when it inflates? Like the part they don't lie to you about, like they claim it only inflates 10%. So your dollar loses like 10% of its value year over year. Oh, and that's the number they're willing to admit.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That's not where I want to store my shit.
Mm-mm.
How about storing it in something that goes the opposite direction year over year? That's what I'm interested in. One more. OpenSats. We talked about them a lot recently. They seem to be hip-hop happening. OpenSats receives an additional $21 million in funding.
Wow.
A symbolic number. $21 million in funding from the Start Small initiative.
Huh.
Which will aid, of course, OpenSats in its mission, which is to support open source development focused on Bitcoin, Nostr, and related freedom tech.
Oh, that's a Jack Dorsey initiative.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Start Small is Jack Dorsey's philanthropic arm, if you will. So some Jack grants going out. Jack grants going out. Oh, I lied. One more.
Woohoo, bonus.
MSB, that's spelled all the way out, by the way, E-M-E-S-S-B-E-E. Construct CoinJoin transaction without a coordinator, just in time for all of the CoinJoin services to be cut down to their knees, and everybody who is left saying, I'm not sure if I want to keep doing this. In walks MSB. SuperTestNet shared a proof of concept implementation of the MSB protocol for performing CoinJoin transactions without a central coordinator. A lot of Coiny Boys been working on this behind the scenes. It's very needed and very important. And timely. So the MSB protocol uses a 3-round serverless flow that can work with any public bulletin board, allowing for the sending and reading of messages. So these rounds post the inputs and the addresses and the signatures, etc., to this public bulletin board. And instead of using a coordinator to share all this info between the interested parties, everybody can just look at a certain bulletin board that you kind of figure out beforehand.
Huh.
As at least the way I'm reading this, which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
The demo version, of course, makes use of Nostr as the public bulletin board for coordination. Although the real version of the protocol would likely communicate over more secure channels, because obviously Nostr is pretty much public and undeletable. And it just wants to, like, all the Nostr events kind of just want to be public eventually. They want to make the rounds. If a relay sees something, it's going to relay it.
Mm-hmm.
That's its job. And then once it's relayed, all you can really do at that point is make a polite request to unrelay it.
Yeah.
And see who honors it and who doesn't. So, yes, in the actual deployment use case, there would be a private service that just the members of the join would know about and listen to. MSB also requires users to pay for their own block space. The mining fee is calculated after all change addresses are submitted, then divided up equally among all participants, and deducted from the amount that would otherwise go to users as change. So it's all pulled out of the change. When you send a transaction on layer one, it's all tied up into what's called a UTXO, unspent transaction output. And so when you send Bitcoin, you really spend one of these unspent outputs, and you always spend the whole thing. So if I'm trying to send 1 million sats, but I have 1.8 million in a UTXO, I send the whole 1.8, and then the 0.8 comes back to me in a change transaction. So that's where the fees would come out of, basically, is what it's saying. So the key advantages, of course, of this protocol, according to the developer, are a lack of coordinator and coordinator fees. So the difference, Wasabi has no toxic change, MSB does, which means that the change coming back to you kind of has some more traceability than having a super clean one where there's no change outputs.
Gotcha.
That would be the drawbacks of MSB compared to Wasabi. The drawbacks compared to Samurai. In Samurai, you only pay for your first coin join. The other ones are free for you because the new guys coming in are the ones paying.
Huh.
And in Whirlpool, you can just keep your coins swirling around in the Whirlpool. Once you pay for the first whirl, then you can just let it ride and just keep mixing and mixing and mixing over and over again, and then pull it out whenever you want. And the new guys coming in each cycle, each wash, are paying for the fees. Drawbacks compared to Join Market. Join Market pays you to coin join. MSB does not. So there's a few drawbacks compared to other protocols, but the advantages are no coordinator, no coordinator fees. So there's that. That's what you got. Maybe we putting it together one at a time. I found that whether it's node operations, lightning channels, or any of this kind of stuff, where you can sign up for a service that does it for you, it's way better just to communicate peer-to-peer. And if you know other node operators who are interested in performing some task, let's say a Ring of Fire, for instance, making Rings of Fire just on a spreadsheet and emailing the people directly involved, I have found is far easier and more success. I've had a higher success rate than a few automated services where I just join up and say, hey, I'm going to do this too, and kind of pop into an automated form. The channels seem to last longer with peers that you actually know and trust. And yeah, it's just a better all-around situation.
Well, there's a personal investment there.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to let your friends down.
I think that's
your
right.
Peers, you know, you don't even have to be friends with them, but...
Well, and you don't feel weird at reaching out to somebody you know, even if you just know them on the internet. You don't feel weird, like, messaging them, hey, what's up with this channel? It seems offline.
Yeah.
And you probably know where to message them, where they actually log into. Like, if you're doing some kind of LN channel market, and you only log into it when you're making new channels...
Right.
Then, yeah,
good
you're
luck.
Probably not going to see a message there as timely. That's all. But hey, what can you do? What can you do?
Just keep trying.
So that's all the cocaine off the mirror.
All right.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.